You're listening to The Ununited State of the World with Francis, Jay, and Monique, only on LA Talk Radio.
How's it going, Los Angeles? It's the startup. No, it's not. It's the Ununited State of the World. I was just pitching my other show. I got confused. I have too many podcasts, but today we are with Francis and Jay, and we are the Ununited State of the World podcast. This is episode 3, gentlemen. How do you guys feel about that?
Hey!
First time lucky.
Right. Well, let's make our rounds around the room and reintroduce ourselves and tell us where everybody is. Francis, it looks like you're still in Thailand, so we'll start with you. Where are you at today?
Yeah, I'm still over in Thailand, yeah. 4 o'clock in the morning here.
Oh, gosh. Usually it's 10 o'clock in UK for you for this, so we really appreciate your dedication to the conversation, for the collective. And how's Thailand? How's the good food? Are you Anthony Bourdaining it through Thailand? What are we doing?
Yeah, Thailand's the same as it always is. It's hot and humid. A lot of the time it's overcast, but wow, you open the doors and it just bang, the humidity hits you. And everyone's so busy here, flying around, you know, loads of people working outside, loads of construction going, loads of female construction workers, which you just don't see in the UK. Loads and loads of them.
Really?
You know, work really, work really, really hard. They've got all the gear on, they've got the helmets on, they've got the gloves, fully clothed, even in this heat, you know, to keep the sun off them. And everyone's trying to keep the sun off them. People walk around with umbrellas, but it's to keep the sun off their skin, not the rain off them. So nobody wants a suntan out here. Everyone stays well out of the sun. So the rules are very different in this part of the world, that's for sure.
Hey, women can do anything, so good for them. And if they're willing to sweat it out and they're good at their job, hey, I'm not mad. All right.
I don't know if it's out of choice, though. That's a problem.
Oh, right. Well, that's the flaw in the plan, right? Okay. Well, it's good to see you, and thank you for your dedication amongst the time zones. Hopefully, it'll get more comfortable for you as we move further, and you'll be back at the 10 o'clock hour in the UK, hopefully having a nice spot of tea and whatever else you guys like to have over there, crumpets. All right.
Francis likes espresso martinis.
Espresso martini,
right.
Yeah.
A little nightcap?
A spot of tiffin in the afternoon. Spot of tiffin we have in the afternoon in the UK.
I was going to say spotted dick, but I don't know how appropriate that is.
Yeah.
Anyway, Jay, welcome back to the show. Go ahead and reintroduce yourself and tell us where you're calling in from today.
Hey, I'm Jay Hackendorn Talinda, and I'm calling in from Orlando, Florida. From Windermere, and we just had a storm pass, so hopefully we should have some good weather here. As you can see, I sit in my backyard, and there will be no passerbys in the back. It's a private backyard. So anyways, just enjoying the weather here. We get these little storms that come in for an hour or two, and then they leave. It cools us down, and then we're good to go, and the season's almost done. So hurricane season, I think we have another few weeks on it. And then we're good to go.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, you know, visiting Jay in the past, because I've always just done like Fort Lauderdale or Miami, you know, for work and travel. So seeing the inland part of Florida be not so sticky and so moody in the weather was refreshing. You know, I was like, oh, wow, there's a cool breeze here. And, you know, of course, Jay like rolled his eyes and cussed me out because he's like, yeah, not everything's Miami. But anyway, it was good to experience that. And of course, I'm Monique LeRae Stinson. I'm here in Laguna Beach, California. And we're here for episode 3. So we're going to get into it. And as we promised, we're not going to shy away from any topic, no matter what it is, because there's a reason why there's a lot of people that feel ununited in the world, especially in America. And Francis is representing the UK for us. So we're going to talk about opioids today, gentlemen. It is an epidemic. It is a problem here in the US. I can't wait to get the European and global perspective from Francis. But let's start with Jay. I also want to dedicate this episode to a friend of Jay's and myself who we lost to perhaps this situation. We're still finding out more information and we want to respect the family's privacy at this moment. So we won't be divulging too many details, but we will say that we did lose someone. And I know, Jay, this was like a second son to you. So why don't you go ahead and make an intro to a memorial for Josh?
Okay. And thank you for that. So Josh, his father, is a golf buddy of mine, and we golfed several years ago. Well, we golf all the time, but several years ago, he introduced me to his son, Josh, who was recovering from an accident and had a sketchy past with some addiction issues that he had cleaned up from and had been clean for a couple of years at that point. And he was very insecure because of his accident. He had some big scars on his legs, and then he had some numbness on one foot. So walking was a little bit difficult, and that was a consequence of the opioids that he had taken in the past. And now we go 18 holes, and I mean, he literally is having a tough time going down the terrain as we're walking the course. But man, he sucked it up, and we finished out a full 18 walking a course. And he looks and he says, I was shocked. And he says, man, I didn't really play too good today. And I said, I don't care how good you played. I'm just proud of you for making 18 holes, man. That's, you know, literally that's about 6,200 feet. And, you know, that's good. You made it over a mile. And I gave him a bunch of handyman work, and he actually moved into my home for several months and began dating my sister and moved in with her. And unfortunately they had a breakup, and apparently he kind of went back to his ways. And that raises an issue because I grew up in the inner city as a child. I grew up in the inner city of Los Angeles, and it was full of gangs. And the gangs make money off many ways, but one of the most lucrative ways is through drug cartels. And it's amazing how complex those cartels are set up, and very accurate, but very ruthless at the same time. So they operate out of a fear. And it was difficult. They would build tunnels. They would take boats. They would, before the scanners that we have at the airport, they were able to smuggle in that way with a chance, right? But now our systems, say take TSA. TSA is set up to scan so many travelers in a given month. They're not, and they're going to be random scans. I mean, they're going to scan everybody, but there's random scans that are at the second level. However, what they're not equipped for is open border. Okay, those people are not going through scanners. They're not going through the same process. And there's too many. We don't have the staff at the Border Patrol to handle that, nor the equipment. So the best way is to limit the number of people that come across, right? So right now we face two issues. One, covering the span of land in which people can cross. Second, are centers in which people can be processed and filtered out, background check, things like that. And we just don't have that in place. And instead, they're just crossing through, and at the same token, receiving medical, housing, food, and depending on which sanctuary city they go to, alcohol and drugs. It really is like, it's like owning a glass company and hiring kids to go throw rocks through the window so that you always have a job. And that's the same thing. These people come in with drugs and they get a sanctuary.
Thank you for opening that up, Jay, and offering your perspective, because it's important, I think, with these conversations, no matter what we believe, it's important to really understand how someone got there. And it sounds like you have years of if you will, in the field experience. You lived in the inner city, which is a nice way to put it. You actually lived in the hood. You lived in South Central, let's just be honest. And we saw what it was in the 90s, and you were there during the Rodney King thing in two ways, and we'll get into that in another time. You have a very unique perspective because you were on the front lines in a building, and then when you went home to Simi Valley, you relived it there. So you have a really unique perspective on a lot of things, and there was a lot of things going on in that time. It wasn't just the drug war. It was a lot of tensions and multicultural interlinkings of that, right? And then celebrity on top of that. So there was a lot of things happening, but I really like that you are speaking about the injury part of this. Now, there's a film, I think I sent you the link. There's a show series, I'm a little late on it, it's called Painkiller. And it's exploring this family, and it ruined this family, right? Middle America, hardworking family, you know, blue collar. And the father gets injured and he's taking these meds, and the doctors are in on it with, and this is a spoiler alert, but it's old. This show's about a year and a half, 2 years old. But the doctors are in on it, and the prescription gals come in with these cute little outfits to like lure the doctors into selling more scripts. And it really addresses this issue. Now it's out of control. According to our government, we have some government analysis here from the .gov. It's the U.S. overdose deaths involved prescription opioids from 1999 to 2022, right? So just 2 years ago. Drug overdose deaths involved prescription opioids rose from 3,442 in 1999 to 17,029 in 2017. From 2017 to 2019, the number of deaths declined, 14,139. And that was followed by a slight increase in 2020. And we can see why. People were in their homes, probably feeling a lot of the feels. And there was about 16,416 reported deaths. What do we think about this crisis, and from your point of view in the UK, Francis, and globally, since you're representing Asia right now as well?
Yeah. I mean, I've been watching some content on OxyContin. I mean, this is something that we heard, you know, the opioid crisis we heard in the news, but I haven't personally been affected with anyone around me, I believe there was a drug over there called MS Contin, which was used for pain relief in hospitals to help cancer patients sleep in hospices, for example. And then the drug company that had that drug wanted to reach out to a larger sphere, as it were. And the three brothers were psychiatrists that owned the drug company. And it's just interesting that psychology comes into this, really, because it's all about manipulation, isn't it? Psychological manipulation as to how you get more people to do something. Now, you're into the realms of psychology here, really. The drug OxyContin that they developed went on to reach a much wider audience, because they invented a new term, using this terminology, which was a psychological manipulation, they were able to convince doctors to prescribe it to a much, much, much larger audience than the previous drug had been prescribed to before. And that's where you get these huge numbers of people that start taking this drug. And I think over time it became a recognized problem. And I think it was President Trump that brought this to the attention. And so the doctors stopped prescribing it. And as a result of people that were hooked on it, that then no longer got their prescription, they then turned to fentanyl, which, on the black market, as you were, picking up this drug fentanyl, which fed their addiction. So they were already addicted to a drug which was being prescribed by them. The doctors refused to prescribe these drugs to them anymore. So they then go out and pick up something on the black market, which will do a very similar thing, although it was, I think, a lot more addictive as well. So, and then you go on to this drug called Trank, which hit the headlines over here as well, where where it's cut with an animal sedative. So you're putting something into your body, which might have been put into a horse or a dog or, you know, some sort of huge animal. and it just turns you into a zombie. This is where you've got these pictures of people standing on their feet with their upper bodies sort of haunched over, and they're just paralyzed. They're just paralyzed. And you start getting this flesh-eating side effect as well. The whole thing's just horrific, isn't it? I mean, it's just how it could be happening in this day and age is kind of beyond you, really.
No, and you're speaking of the Stackler family, and that's what the show Painkiller addresses. I want to go full screen on Jay. Jay, give us some more ideas of what you're thinking can be done about this.
Well, going back to that, okay, so there was a documentary called Doped, and that was regarding the that opioid pharmaceutical company. And, you know, it was interesting, as Francis mentioned, so the FDA came in and started to squelch it down, and then they changed the terminology, just a couple of words. And then what they did is then they started increasing the milligrams, right? Because if you're an addict, one is two, but two is better, right? And so, and then three is even better than two. And that's kind of how that goes. And that was through pharmaceutical. The situation on this one with the fentanyl and the other illicit drugs that are coming in, they're not going through any processing. And the chain that they have to go through, it may come pure from Colombia or Ecuador or whatever, wherever it's coming from. But by the time it gets to the border in San Ysidro, that same drug has been sumped on with various chemicals, whether it's a laxative or, I forget, there's a battery acid that they use, but they stomp it out. So the only way to really prevent is to have a tight border. If you go to almost any other country, especially throughout Europe, you are going to pass through. You cannot just walk through. That is near impossible, except for boats that are coming in. But in which case, those are easy to catch. And here, it's not a matter about making new laws. It's about enforcing the current laws that we have. And then we've got to use some common sense. Okay, so it is not discrimination. There's a process for asylum, and there's a process to get whatever type of visas you may have. And of course, it requires background checks. But in order to do any of that, everybody must be funneled through certain channels, just like they came through Ellis Island back in the day. Today, there needs to be certain channels, and everything else needs to be blocked. You cannot. The United States is like 50 European countries. So you cannot possibly block every perimeter around the United States because of the mileage and the terrains. And so there's got to be ports of entry.
Listen, we can all agree that, you know, I mean, I'll just say I'm the resident Democrat here for for many reasons, but I this is the way I look in the world, and certain things affect me differently. No excuses. I make things happen, but I'm a Democrat for those reasons mostly. But I will say, the Democrats I know and how I feel, we definitely want to have our borders be how they're supposed to be, right? And I, you know, if people are coming in with the
What do you mean by how they're supposed to be, and how do you explain San Francisco's policies regarding dishing out drugs and alcohol to the homeless people and forcing business owners to dedicate hotels to.
Listen, that's another, listen, because it kind of has prongs, right? So it goes to the next issue. And we are going to do a show on homelessness and all of that. But I'll just say, of course, nobody wants the borders wide open. I just think there's this false narrative that's put out there that if you're a Democrat, you want your border. Of course I fucking don't. I pay my taxes. I'm a single woman here living by myself with my dog. Of course I want my shit to be safe. Like, I'm not an idiot. Like, of, that just goes without saying. So the fact that people would say, oh, because you're a Democrat, you don't want that. It's kind of like, this is a non-issue. Like, we all pay our taxes and we agree. We want to go. When I go to London, I go through the proper channels. Same difference. So you and I agree on that.
So what's the difference? So how come when Biden came in, how come the wall stopped? How come Texas?
Okay, first of all, I saw the wall and it was a fence. It wasn't a wall. I went there during when it was happening. I went there in 2020 and it was not a wall. Okay, so those, your tax dollars did not build a whole wall. And first of all, we have technology. So using a wall instead of using technology is like using the phone book instead of Google. It makes no sense. And you spend more money and time doing that. Use technology and be smart. You know?
Because there is a wall and the steel beams are over 20 feet high. So what do you mean there's not a wall?
I have footage. I went to the border in 2020 for the pandemic project and I took video and photo and I think I did a live to show people that it was not AI, it was real. And you know, I just saw a different part of it. Maybe they ran out of money on this end of it. I didn't see a wall. But my point is, yes, we all want borders that are safe. Everybody that pays their taxes and abides by the law with common sense, it kind of just goes without saying. So people like saying we don't want that. How we handle the people is why we might be a little different. I want us to handle people in a way that I would want to be handled. If I'm a woman with my children coming from another country looking for amnesty and help, hopefully we can provide that without not taking care of our citizens. So we agree on that. But the opioid thing, guys, did you guys know the Sackler family who created, and it was the nephew, I believe, in the film, you know, we're watching Painkiller, and some of it's been changed, right, for audience appreciation and for entertainment. But did you know that they created this drug and they said, where can I meet you between pain and pleasure? That's where we need to sit. Can you imagine the mastermind, the cruelty, the inhumanity to just market something that would get someone hooked to avoid pain? Because we're humans, we want to avoid pain, we want to avoid problems, we like to avoid stuff that hurts us, right? That's just basic psychology. But to meet someone where they need the help and they don't need the help, but they like the pleasure, it's a sick thing. Let's go full screen on Francis. That's a sick thing, Francis. What do you think?
Yeah, one of many in life. Yes, it's a sick thing. Yeah. So I think I might have mentioned before that a friend of mine was a GP here in the UK, general practitioner. So that's just your average family doctor that you go and see when you've got an ailment. And she had 80% of her clients, customers, whatever you like to call them, the people on her books, her patients, I suppose, 80% in the end were going to see her with depression. They were depressed and they just wanted her to do something to make their life more enjoyable, more bearable. I'm not quite sure what the word is really that you're looking for, but it actually got her down in the end to the point where she actually gave the general practitioner practice up because it was getting her down that she was spending 80% of her day dishing out pills, happy pills, if you like, to people that were just unhappy with their life in general. Maybe they felt they deserved a better partner or a partner or a better home or a better job or more holidays, or they wish they looked a little bit better. I don't think we've experienced an opioid crisis over here. I mean, we're an island nation, so you think it we wouldn't really suffer with border issues, although we are now with illegal immigrants coming over. So I guess if you're not in control of your borders, you're not really in control of your country, are you? Because all sorts of things can infiltrate your nation and just add huge additional problems to the problems that you already have in society, managing your population and people's hopes, dreams, desires, expectations, etc. on a daily basis. But yeah, no, you're right. I mean, it's an appalling thing. And they were psychiatrists. You know, I go back to how the three brothers were psychiatrists, and they invented a new terminology, which more people could then associate with, in order to give their drugs more mass appeal. And I go back to its psychological manipulation of people.
Yeah, it's criminal.
I think it's criminal, right?
It's about intention and ethics, right? If you know, you know this is dangerous, and you want to get it right to the pain relieving point and right to the addiction point, you're part of the problem. It's intentional, and I think it's what is it called, Jay? It's a malpractice, malintent, what do we call that?
Well, there's definitely malpractice, but as far as like the drugs go, that's maliciousness, right?
I mean, see you, Jay. We want to see you. There you are. Say it again, please.
So your question on it, there's malpractice, which is, when you don't practice correctly, right? You misdiagnose or you diagnose for a certain intent that is not for the benefit of the patient. Okay, that would be malpractice. In this case, there's many more other issues that go on with that. There's got to be at least 20 different charges that go along with that. Sure. In this case, I think they brought them down with RICO, if I remember right. And then the owners of that company, they took off to Europe, actually, to try to evade. And that's what happened there.
They actually reached a settlement in 2022. To the tune of $6 billion. You know, they made a settlement. But you know what? It's not, you can't go, the fact that you have the brass to go, we're going to do this and we know we're going to get away with it because we're greasing everybody's palm. Everybody's in on it. We're not going to go to jail. We have enough money to play God and Gandhi and just do it is the sick part. I don't give an F if I hurt people and families. Those are the real, I kind of am more upset with them than I am people trying to cross the border. Like, at least they're just trying to get a better life. I mean, you should get in line and not cut. I'm not really mad at you for trying to, you know, save your children.
Monique, what you're missing on this part is this.
What am I missing?
Who's in that line trying to get across the border? Number one. Number two, what is the difference between the opioid company and the drug cartels that are sending people through? So I'm missing.
You want me to answer that?
Well, I don't ask a question rhetorically, of course.
Okay, well, everybody's still learning your personality here, darling. But yes, I'm no wizard. I'm not versed on the gangs and shit. I'm not a psychologist. I'm not a drug person. But I will say the difference for me is the intent, the malintent to hurt and harm, to make money using your skills and targeting innocent and sensitive people that could be otherwise, they need your guidance and you've used your powers for evil. You intentionally don't give a damn if you're gonna kill somebody to make your money and you know you can get out of it because you got enough money to get out of it. That pisses me off. Someone coming from another country that doesn't have the money or the paperwork and they're trying to save their children from a dictator or the rape or fucked up things, I'm my heart is a little bit more with them. All right, let's assess if they can come here and let's see what we can do. Let's not put our citizens last but let's also think about this mother with her children and see what we can do. Let's just see we can do. There's a difference
Francis,
someone coming for you.
I just want to say you're under attack from two areas. You're under attack from upstairs legally through Big Pharma, and you're under attack illegally downstairs coming up at you.
Drug cartels
building their own distribution networks, selling.
And I'm not saying the cartels. Listen, I don't want to talk too much about the cartels. Like I said, I don't want no problems. But all I'll say is that I am not as some might argue this is used to be Mexico. Some might argue this used to be Native American land. Some might argue that it got stolen through rape and pillaging. Some might argue that the government owes them some money. Some might argue this is my area. Y'all took it and stole and raped and pillaged. And you might find some people who still feel like this is, they have the right to do this because their people haven't been done right.
Who's
perhaps. I'm not saying it's okay.
Who's their people?
Yeah.
I'm not saying it's okay. That might just be their opinion, though. Some Mexican Americans might feel like this is still Mexico and y'all didn't pay what you should have paid.
Yeah, but I don't think it matters. You're just one massive target now, aren't you? You're one massive market. You know, you're the largest consumer market in the world.
In terms of
capita per head, you know, spending money. So you are a massive target for drug cartels. You're a massive target for Big Pharma. You know, the money involved in from upstairs and downstairs for these attacks is huge. It's colossal. It's so much so that they're going to make it and know they'll never spend a day in jail.
It's so much money. They know they can pay their way out and they're willing to do it. I find that more evil than someone saying this used to be our land and y'all raped and pillaged and took it and we are just going to do what we got to do. I'm not saying that that's better, but I understand how they got there. But if you're hurting children and adults that don't have free will to choose if they want to take drugs, I have a problem with that. If you're a grown up, you pay your bills, you want to have a little fun on the weekend, you want to do a little drug, I don't know if I have a problem with that, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody and you have your ducks in a row. So if something happens to you, you know what I mean? But what do you think, Jay?
No, I don't, because once you do that little drug, it's kind of fun. Just like that movie you're just talking about, Painkiller, right? And then all of a sudden you want to have fun on a Monday. And maybe it was a tough week and you want to have fun on a Wednesday. And maybe, it's Friday now. God, I made it through the week. Now I want to have fun on Friday. Well, now it's Saturday and Sunday. Well, hell, it's the weekend. Let me have fun.
But what's the difference between that and alcohol? I mean, I drink wine a lot. If anybody knows me, I drink a lot of wine. Okay, I am a wino, but I don't drink and drive, and I have a wine startup, and that's just what it is. I love wine. But the difference, that's a drug, too. The difference is that's legalized and controlled to a point, right?
Yeah.
But what's the difference?
As well. Tax as well.
Daddy's making his money. Let's just say what it is.
Yeah.
What's the difference?
Well. Oh, there's a lot of differences. I'm not saying that the addictiveness is different. It is. The addictiveness is much different between wine, and then they call marijuana a gateway drug. And then marijuana brings you to cocaine, and then that brings you want something stronger, and then you want something stronger, right? So there is a difference in the addictiveness of each type of addiction. Right. And by the way, I want to expand. Addiction takes many forms. And I did study psychology. So you have shopping addiction, sex addiction, work addiction. Yeah, right. A workaholic.
You have that one. You have the work addiction. I know you too well.
I'm an addict. And I'm addicted to work. But their addictions come in many forms and at many different levels. And there's a reason that those cartels and the pharmaceuticals make so much. And here's how I put it, because I like to reduce it down to the core, is it doesn't matter if it comes from a white coat, meaning a doctor, or if you get it from some guy off the street. The only difference is one supposedly has been filtered through the FDA. The other is not. Both of them make so much money that it doesn't matter So we need to regulate that. Now, when it's coming from out of country, if it's going through the pharmaceutical, there's only two roads. The roads are, it goes through the pharmaceuticals or it's going through the borders. That's how that works. It really is that simple. So if you want pharmaceuticals, well, that's called regulatory. If you want to control the cartel part, where it's coming in the second road, because they're both equally the same. Well, yeah. Then you got to control the border. Okay? It's not about native people saying, oh, this was my land.
Well, I'm just saying it's a complicated issue. And a lot of people, like Native Americans, when you turn 18, they get something from the government because they came to an agreement that we did your people wrong and you guys are paid. So they're clear, unless they have another issue. Now, with Black Americans, that's another topic for another day. We want our piece of what it is. We helped keep the East and West together on the railroad and didn't get paid what we were worth. We kept this economy together with cotton and sugar and grain, but that's another story. So I'm just saying somebody's perspective might go, I don't care about this government. You guys owe us. Some people might think that.
What about the Italians and the Germans and all the
That's other- different. That was by choice. It wasn't by raping and pillaging. You went through Ellis Island with your paperwork and you paid to come. If you were stolen, raped, or pillaged, you didn't have a choice in the matter. So okay, it's a different conversation.
But the open borders, how many times have women...
It wasn't an open border.
No, I'm saying right now. How many times with these open borders have you seen in the news every single day about girls getting raped or people getting beaten by people that have already been deported once, but now
this is what I'm trying to say to you to answer that. Those things are not right. But a lot of people who live here that lived here before Europeans came here, okay, I'm just answering you. Feel like that process of y'all taking it over was by raping and pillaging. Some of them don't care. I'm not saying that that's right. I'm just offering you another perspective that's hard to swallow. Some people feel like you got the United States off raping and pillaging and illegally. I'm not this light skinned because they had a Bumble app and my grandparents decided to date a white guy. I'm this light because someone raped somebody in my bloodline. Do you get it? So there's people who feel a different way. So they don't care about your daughters getting raped. They want to make money. They're bitter. I'm just offering you another perspective, and I know people are going to come at
the
me.
Daughter's getting raped, the girl's getting raped today. I'm talking, if you listen to it, my question was, from the people, the people that have crossed illegally multiple times, have violent criminal records, are actually being sought after. So, and then they commit more crimes, right? Then there's no bail. So there's no bail. So then they get released within hours. Then they're back on the street. And then they commit more crimes. Then they finally get deported. Then they come right back in. Okay? Guess who made those rules? The no bail rules? Oh, the Democrats. Yes.
Cite your source, because I want to know more about that. Hold for a minute. We got passionate. I apologize. I'm going to shut up and let Francis chime in here a little bit. We just have a few more minutes left. Francis, what's your 30,000 foot perspective from this?
I've heard the FDA mentioned a couple of times in this conversation, and I've talked about some psychological manipulation, and I believe the idea of psychic tension was the one that was introduced to enable doctors to prescribe this drug to just about anybody. You know, this is a sort of a generalized terminology that was introduced at a doctor level so that he could just tick the right box. Oh yeah, that's psychic tension. Oh yeah, that comes under psychic tension. So all of a sudden their sales of this drug just rocketed. The money that they were making was like hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars. Huge bonuses being paid out to salesmen, revolving door jobs given to people maybe at the FDA and other bodies, you know, like we still see in Big Pharma today. We see people that are on boards that help decisions for drugs that come to market and they end up 2 years later going to work for the pharmaceutical company that makes the drug. But have we learned anything from this? Have we learned, you know, is this just being rinse, wash, repeated now? Have we learned anything from this? Because I would say that, you know, during COVID-19, that we were psychologically manipulated. Here in the UK, there's a government paper that basically outlines that fear, shame and guilt can be used to manipulate people to go and take an experimental gene therapy vaccination that the FDA gave emergency authorization to. And we were manipulated to take that again. So nothing's been learned, has it? Big Pharma made their billions again. You know, what's the next one going to be? Because this,
this
has happened twice. You know, we're talking about the opioids.
Well, it's happened more than that. We have the Tuskegee experiment where they tested things out for chlamydia on black men in America. We have a lot of things that the FDA was testing, and, you know, we still see it in other brown areas in the country, right? Like, they test things out. Now, we want to just put a disclaimer here that this is all our opinions. And these are speculations that we've gathered information in our life experience. We are not coming for any organization. We're just having a free thought here. And I also want to say, you should always question how things get passed. Let's shift just a little, hold it for a moment. Let's shift just a little, and let's talk about the supply and demand here. And I know, Jay, you're really good at this in your business, supply and demand, both you, Francis, as well. But we have to have a little, we have to hold a little self-accountability here, right? Like, yes, there are dirty doctors, there's script doctors, and there is the other element of the external border issue. But, you know, there's a lot of borders here. It's not just Mexico, right? Last time I remember, folks that hurt us came through the Canadian border and flew some planes into our goddamn buildings. So, you know, we got to keep an open spectrum here. But I will say, what say you about the supply and demand of people, because there's no supply if there's not a demand. So do we have a personal responsibility for the drugs we want to consume, or are we just sitting ducks? Jay, what say you?
So I actually spoke on this yesterday. It starts with education. And Francis, I think I sent this to you too, right? It starts with the education. I think in our education system, it needs to be revamped. We are so far behind and we're focused on all this woke crap. But when it comes to, there is no mental health. So you've got physical, which they don't have PE anymore today, like we used to have, where you run around track, you do your push-ups, your sit-ups, you know, you change in, you change out, and then you go to your next class. No. So you've got physical. You have emotional health. Okay, what psychology class is there at a high school level? Like, you need to start, if you're going to teach kids about transgender, you better start teaching them some psychology in like first grade. But they're too young. The frontal lobe is not even developed until 7 through 12 years old. And so we need to revamp our educational system to incorporate emotional, mental well-being. And obviously you've got to control the drugs, because the snag is, I mean, if you ever listen to NWA, dope man, right? Once they get a taste of it, then you're done. So you got to control that, but you also have to educate the kids. In addition, it's like gangs. Why do kids join gangs? Because they don't have a strong family life. They want to belong to something. They want to feel needed, a part of something, respected. Okay, why do they do drugs? Because it makes you feel good. Because they don't know another way to feel good. They don't know how to process emotions. So if you teach them, if we incorporate some emotional, mental, psychology, physical, which is necessary, everything you consume is what you are. So whether you consume emotional, mental, spiritual, or physically, that is what creates and builds us. And then you don't need a drug to feel happy. You don't.
Well, that's good. No, and thank you for saying that. Now I want to throw to Francis for three minutes of your final thoughts on this topic, and what can we take away from your point of view?
Right. Well, I think we're all being dumbed down and having our heads full of crap. And this is not coming from the drug cartels. This is not coming from downstairs. This is all coming from upstairs. This is all government directives, okay? We are being dumbed down, without a doubt. I mean, life is just full of distractions, and that's exactly how they want us to be, distracted all the time. People are more interested in the football or Love Island or whatever it is on TV that they're watching, some sort of box series or whatever, than they are in really what's going on. You know, I mean, our families have come under attack. All of these crazy ideas that are being, you know, enforced by government bodies. They're just confusing young people right from an early age. They don't know who the hell they are. You know, they're growing up in this world now, which is just full of distractions, screens, social media, this, that, the other. You know, they've got a million and ten thoughts going around in their head all the time. You know, when I was a child, life seemed pretty simple. But I mean, now, I mean, yeah, the teachers at school are filling our kids' heads full of rubbish, absolute rubbish. You know, they're just trying to get them to question who they are all the time, you know, and get them to believe that they're different and that they don't fit in and that they've got an issue here. And then they build on this and they just become this really messed up, you know, confused individual that's just thinking inwards about themselves, creating all of these mental issues. You know, no wonder we've got so many mental issues in society today. On top of everything else, yeah. I mean, you know, just why governments keep getting bigger and keep confusing the population more and more and more. It's just beyond me. I mean, you know, this is why the only reason why we've got any GDP is that governments just keep growing bigger and bigger and employing more and more people to confuse everybody more and more in their daily lives as to who they are, what they should be saying, what they should be doing. And yeah, it's just crazy. It's just this like crazy loop just going round and round. Not going anywhere. You know, they're going to end up having more and more drug dependent people that are just confused and just redundant in society. You know, not producing anything, but just a drain on everything. And again, that's what they like, isn't it? Because it just means that government just keeps getting bigger. They just keep taxing the population more and more and more. And I mean, it's a road to nowhere. It's a road to nowhere. Well, we're all going in the wrong direction at the moment, as far as I can see it.
Sorry for there's a lag here. Sorry to cut you off, Francis. Thank you. No, thank you for both of you really give a good perspective. I'm going to bring it home and say, I agree to your point, Jay, and your point, Francis, to really look at, you know, what the intention is and who's benefiting, but also emotional support and spiritual support and all of these things are important. Yes, kids go through their phases and, you know, we'll get into the transgender thing on another show, but it's not an easy road to do that. You have to really have a lot of things in place for that to even be considered. And I think it's important that we realize we understand science, right? We understand that we have both genders, genitalia when we're in the womb, and that, you know, sometimes nature is imperfect and imperfectly perfect, right? So, you know, there's a many different ways to look at this, but I'm grateful that you guys brought these points home, and that is to really look at yourself and be responsible. Like, what are your needs? Can this be, you know, eased with spiritual help? Can this be eased with having a social life and a community? What does your family dynamic look like? You know, I'm under a lot of pressure, and I got a tattoo yesterday, you guys, for my spirit. Like, that was my ink therapy, you know, like I'm here by myself. So it feels, you know, it gets hard sometimes, and it's okay to say that. We want to thank everybody for being here. Jay, you have 30 seconds to close this out for Josh. You have 30 seconds. Go.
I've got to take an Oxycontin. I'll be right back. Hang on.
Real quick. Oh, gosh. All right. This is supposed to be the dedication part. You got 30 seconds, Jay.
All right. So the dedication to Josh is he's a kindred spirit, and he was held and talented. He just didn't believe in himself. And And unfortunately, I can't talk. Go ahead, Francis.
No, that's okay. I just want to close it out here. Yeah. We love you, Jay. We love you, Francis. And we love you, Josh. You guys be well. Yeah. Thank you for being vulnerable with this, Jay. The Ununited. We'll be here next week, okay? Be well.
Yeah, take care of yourself.
You're listening to The Ununited State of the World with Francis, Jay, and Monique, only on LA Talk Radio.